listening to an extra shot episode on the Project Zion podcast, a shorter episode that lets you get your Project Zion fix in between our full-length episodes. It might be shorter time-wise, but hopefully not in content. So regardless of the temperature at which you prefer your caffeine, sit back and enjoy this extra shot.
Hello, and welcome to the Project Zion podcast. I'm your host, Carla Long, and with me today is a dear friend of mine, someone I've known for, oh gosh, years and years and years.
Don't go there.
Okay. Named David Lloyd. He's a good friend of mine, and he is the president, head?
CEO, grand poopah.
Of Develop Metrics. And first I'm going to ask him to introduce himself, and then I'm going to ask him to tell us what Develop Metrics is. So Dave, thank you so much for joining us. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm David Lloyd, and I live in Blue Springs, Missouri, and I operate with the help of a number of other people, Develop Metrics LLC, which is a little company that was developed in order to do leadership development for the church. Through a funding through the Canadian Church, which is a really interesting setup. I live in America and I work for the Canadian Church, and the Canadian Church is providing this for all English-speaking countries. And basically, we've been in operation for about 4 years now. Before that, I worked at headquarters doing the e-learning programming, as well as teaching not only the ministry and priesthood classes, but also training Mission Center presidents as they came in. Before that, I was a Mission Center president. Before that, I was a regional worker for the church. I worked then before that in a congregation full-time, and I was also a full-time youth minister. So I've done many things in the life of the church and stayed under the radar long enough to not get in trouble. And now maybe I get in a little trouble. And now I work for this little company that's providing priesthood and ministry teachings online.
Oh, and I am super grateful for it personally. So we're going to get into that actually. So what kind of things, what kind of classes do you offer on Develop Metrics, and how does it even work? What is it like?
Sure. Well, at first we just wanted to get the basic core ministry and priesthood classes in. So the deacon, teacher, priest, elder courses, and intro to ministry and intro to scripture. And once we get that up and running and saw that there was a need to have this taking place in the life of the church, we also began adding a few other classes. We've got the Latter-day Seekers course online. We also do the children's and youth worker core training online. And we developed a pastor's class for new pastors coming in at the beginning of the year if they'd like to, you know, see what that's going to be like a little bit and talk with other coming up pastors. And we've also done, we started a MEADS online course that we do via Zoom in Canada, and that went live a year ago. And so we do that twice a year. And next year, we're looking at adding some one-off courses on a number of single topics that you can do over a weekend, like conflict resolution and generational connections and things like that, that might be interesting one topic classes. And we do that on a platform called Moodle, which is without getting too technical, it's an open source online platform that you can build on yourself. We use a company called Moodle School, which also helps develop us into a school. Yeah. And they have conventions every year called the Moodle Moots that you can go to. It basically allows us to create these online classes. We have to get the content and then edit the content to fit into the online platform style. We try to gather as many videos as we can get together. There's interaction that takes place with the instructor through little little essay answers that you'll give every week, as well as form dialogues where you post an answer to a question, and then you can comment on other classmates' answers. So we try to incorporate into it as much community as we can for those students who are taking the class. One of the interesting things we found is that usually every year we get a comment back that I never knew that the church believed this. and you realize that when you're taking a class with people from all over Canada and the U.S., and sometimes outside of that area, you get perspectives that you never might have had in your home congregation. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people can teach a class to their own agenda. And these classes are pretty much taught from the contents agenda. And so they stay pretty universal as far as what the church intended to go out. So that's kind of a neat prospect we have in connecting with people out in the church. And also we have people who sometimes come in from outside the church, take classes.
Oh, how interesting. Like, I just know that I, as a pastor, have really appreciated, first of all, I took the pastor's class, which is really helpful to me. The kind of, I've been working for Community Christ for 15 years. I've been a member my whole life, but I didn't totally realize exactly what a pastor did. So just having someone lay that out for me. And like you said, that community piece, getting be able to talk to other people about it and letting, and knowing that they're not as sure either helps me feel a little bit better about where I'm at. So that community is really important.
Yeah. Yeah. And that pastor's class, we even do one little section on how to go into Shelby and make a list of your priesthood. And I find every time people go, you know, I pushed it off because I didn't want to know about Shelby. And just having that one, you know, how-to was worth the whole course. But other things in it, such as, you know, how to call priesthood members, that always has been, it's a tough thing to do. It's a tough thing to feel through and to process through. And hopefully we've created a class that helps pastors understand that a little bit better.
Yeah, it takes a little bit of the mystery away from it. And because there are very practical things that you have to do and or get to do, you know, you're honored to do. So that was really helpful for me. It just takes a little bit of the scariness away. And I think that's probably been true for a lot of the different courses too, the ministry of the deacon, teacher, priest, and elder, things like that.
Sure.
And again, as a pastor, having someone else teach those classes has been a game changer, because otherwise, yeah, I would be spending hours and hours and hours and hours teaching them. Not that I wouldn't want to, but at least they get that community aspect and not just my personal opinion on it, like you said.
Right. And like in the priest and elders class, we ask the people taking the class to actually do the sacraments, whether they've been ordained or not, to practice doing them in a environment that makes sense. And so I've gotten a lot of phone calls from pastors saying, why are you having people fill up the baptismal font? And we have to explain, well, you know, we're going to have them practice. And they, can you do that? Well, yeah, you can practice doing that. And especially because everyone knows their first baptism and how terrifying that is. And you do a lot of this from observation as you go through, you know, coming into that position, and then to actually do it's a whole nother issue. So we try to get people into a swimming pool or a baptismal font or a river or whatever, and actually practice doing it so that when the day comes, it's not as big a surprise, and that you realize if a foot pops out, you don't have to redo the baptism and all those other, you know, little idiosyncrasies we have on the sacraments that talk about what is the nature of the sacrament and what is the purpose of the sacrament and how we're living that through by these little acts that we do. And it makes it more meaningful for the priesthood member if they can spend their time thinking about the sacrament rather than thinking about the act of the sacrament. And that usually helps a lot too. And also we're one of the hardest things I have is with the elders in talking about laying on of hands for the sick or doing a confirmation or doing an ordination, to talk in prayer language rather than in first person language. So we're trying to get rid of a lot of the old recordings from Uncle Bob, who used to prophesy over people when they were, you know, ordaining them, and get off task a little bit and start focusing them on actually giving an ordination prayer and what that means. And if you can stop and ask yourself the question why you're doing it that way, it helps make a lot more sense of the sacrament itself too. So lots of stuff that take place in that class that we are sharing in.
Oh, that is so important. Actually, I remember my elder's course, our teacher, Isla June Bruner. Hi, Isla June. She actually had us hold a baby and practice with the blessing of the baby. You know, that was the thing I remember most.
Yeah.
So important.
And also, if you've got a crying baby, that it's okay to let the mother continue holding the baby, you know, these other things that we don't think of until we get to that moment. And
then you wonder, is this okay?
Yeah. I remember one of my favorite baby blessings. I saw the kid was just screaming and the elder was trying to, you know, hold on to this baby. And the elder said, "And Lord, as this child raises its voice, may it someday raise its voice to you." And that's all I can remember from that baby blessing. And I help elders remember, they're not going to really remember your baby blessing unless it's really bad, because all we care about in the congregation is that little baby up there.
That's,
you know, and that's what it should be. That the priesthood takes a servant role of standing, but, you know, with God and the congregation and the officiant. And we're the window dressing to help the blessing that happens among those people take place.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we could share stories forever, but I do have one more story about, I was blessing a boy, a toddler. He's probably 2 or 3, and he had a lot of energy, and it was in California, and little Danny could not sit still on my lap. We were going to sit on my lap, whatever. So he just started running around me. And every time he ran around me, I just put my hands on his head. Hands on his head.
Sacrifices.
I think it got
Jesus' name. Amen.
It was very memorable.
Yeah.
People still ask me about that. They're like, "Do you remember when you blessed Danny?" I'm like, "I do." So back to development metric.
Oh man, I mean, I do ask a question in the priest and elders class. Name, you know, one time in a sacrament where things went right, or sometime when they went wrong. And most people love to talk about the wrong ones. And there are some doozies out there. Let me tell you, every time I get a good belly laugh out of what people are sharing in that class.
Is that the only reason you do that class?
That's one of the reasons I do the class.
Absolutely. So Dave, I'm assuming that tons of people have already gone through develop metrics. Is that right?
Yeah. Now my tote board is back at the temple, and I have been back there to March. So I don't know exactly how many we are at right now. We're right around 1,000 students that we've had go through develop metrics at this point.
Wow.
And that's another thing. Since March of 2020, we decided to open up our platform to mission centers who could not do their priesthood ministry and priesthood classes, because you got to understand, once that stops, the calling process stops, because since people can't be ordained until they've taken these classes, if we don't have a means by which they can take the classes, then the ordinations don't happen.
Right.
And so, you know, that causes kind of a leadership problem in the life of the church. So we said, you know, we're gonna try doing some of these classes in a weekend format. We open it on Friday at midnight, and we close it on Sunday at midnight, and that's like going through a weekend long class pretty much. People had to take, you know, it takes about 8 hours, 8 to 10 hours to complete a class, so they had to work their time in during that weekend. But I think we did 8 different mission centers doing classes from March until June. And so we had a number of classes going on at the same time, which is really hard to manage, because I've got a ceiling of how many people can be in our system at the same time, and still go through the process of grading all the classwork and approving them. That's the other thing on our end. We also do the Shelby membership records at the end of each class for the students. so that the mission center and the congregations don't have to worry about that. As soon as they have taken the class and have passed it, we go into Shelby and enter in that information. So that makes it, it makes it a little bit easier for everybody.
So much easier. Gosh, that's what a gift you're giving to the church. What a gift.
Well, what a gift the Canadian church is giving to the rest of the church too. I've got to give them the thanks there for funding this kind of thing and not just using it for their own needs, but also for the rest of the church.
I'm a quarter Canadian myself. My grandpa was born in Kincardine, Ontario. And so the quarter of me is very, very proud.
That's a part of you I like. Oh. just a quarter. it's been really great too. I've gotten to go to a lot of the camps up there and provide ministry during the summer. Didn't get to do that this year, but they did an online reunion and I taught the adult class online, which was a different experience. So this is the interesting thing that's gone on through this pandemic that we've had is this has really pushed us as a church to recognize there's other ways we need to connect and ways that we've been really slow to jump into. Our resources being available in other formats than just hardcover books, or books, our teaching being done online, our worship services and congregations being online and using the technology that's out there. I think once this pandemic is over, we will be retaining a lot of that in the life of the church and asking the question, how prophetic was it for us as a church at our last conference to say that it was okay to do the Lord's Supper via online processes? And now we're looking at other ways of, Pete, I watch the Facebook posts about, doing the laying on of hands for the sick and how do we do that in the time of COVID and the recognition that the sacramental part of that can be done even without the name of laying on of the sacrament itself. I mean, anyone can pray for anyone. And that takes on a sacramental nature. It might not be the sacrament, but it takes on a sacramental nature on its own. And as we begin to recognize new ways that we can go into these areas, I think it helps us look at what the nature of the sacrament is to begin with. And they are these connective times and opportunities where like I said before, it engages the person, it engages the congregation, and it engages the greater community that we're all a part of, both Christianity and humanity, as we come before God. And I think there's a lot more that we can do in regard to understanding the nature of the sacraments in the life of the church.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I feel like it's moving us to use John Dorauer language from church 2.0 to church 3.0, and at least opening up some new avenues at the very least and saving us some money for, I think the in-person stuff is super, super important and I never, ever want to lose that, but it doesn't always have to be in-person. That's what I think we're learning. And there can be some really wonderful spiritual moments happen
right
online.
Well, and it is helping reshape what we consider community, and this is a basic part of who we are. And I'm really fascinated with how we have expanded community, like Toronto Place, and their ministry online has here's a tiny congregation, and yet its effect worldwide right now is being seen and how they keep that community feel within the life of being online. I think we can all learn. I would love sometime to just have the opportunity every Sunday to go and visit all these other congregations that are doing online ministry and get a flavor for what their congregations are like. But we're coming into that time where we're going to be having both live and people at home. I'm thinking of my mother, who in the last couple of years of her life was not able to go to church, and had she had the opportunity in her congregation to attend, she would have.
Sure.
Online. And And so we need these things. We need both.
We do. I think that when we go back to in-person church, it's going to be in-person and online. I think it's going to have to be.
It should be.
Yeah, we shouldn't give up
these
people who can't come. I completely agree.
Yep.
Wow. Back to develop metrics.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, you were already set up for this too, like also prophetic and setting this up and getting this going. And so people can still take classes. We can still have ministry to priesthood ordinands. Is that the right word?
Yes.
Uh-huh. That's what I thought. Yeah. So I'm really grateful to the Canadian church and to you for doing this, all this work too. I mean, this is important.
Right. Well, and headquarters started the process. I mean, we were doing this before, Developmetrics was in place. You know, the church, had some key leaders and, them helped we had members of the presidency who were instrumental in ensuring that we got this kicked off, members of the 12. And we had some rough starts, and we used a number of platforms, but we got the basic idea down, and then we had budget cuts, and then Canada, picked it back up. So that's a lot of hands have been in this to make it successful.
Well, that's really good to hear. And I'm really glad that you're the one running it. I think you're doing a fantastic job. So, so what is the hope for develop metrics in the future? Are you thinking about expanding? Are you thinking about like keeping where you're at right now just to try and get as many people through, or any thoughts?
Boy, every time we talk about expanding, I'm really trying to figure out how we expand more with, what we have at this point. Right now we have four sessions a year, kind of like in semesters, and they last for 8 weeks apiece. And we usually have three or four classes going on per session. And that's about, from a person power standpoint, that's about as much as we can do.
But
we still keep talking about doing more. So, yeah, so we'll keep doing more as we can. And we didn't know that COVID was going to come up, and yet we went ahead and helped out with that, and that pushed our limits for a number of months, and so we'll keep trying to see what the need is for. We hear a lot of talk out there of a need for some church history and some more in depth work with the scriptures and spiritual practices and all these other things. So, the need for education is limitless. Our staff and our platform are not limitless, but we'll make do as we go forward.
Yeah. Well, that's, there's always some limits. Like, I don't know how many people you have working for Develop Metrics. I know it's you. It's you and you and, oh yeah, your staff meetings are pretty fun.
But I also have the Latter-day Seekers class has a couple of volunteers who do that class. So I am very appreciative of that. Once in a while, if I get in a pinch, I will ask somebody to teach a class and give them a stipend as a thank you. The church stipend, it's after you're done, you can go to McDonald's and have a good time.
In your crown.
That's right. So we do have a number of other people helping in the outside. We've got a couple of people who are right now helping with the content for some of these upcoming classes that we're doing. We try to get people to write the content who have had long-term connection to the topics. So like Sandy Gamay with conflict resolution and try to get some of our best writers to put some new topics together for us. So there's a lot of people behind me, the person behind the camera who are helping make it happen.
The guy behind the curtain, so to speak.
That's right. Don't pay attention to him.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for telling us about this. I wanted to talk about this on Project Zion Podcast just because there are probably some people out there who still don't know what it is and still don't know what it does. And it can be a really helpful tool for a lot of leadership.
Right. And one thing I wanted to put out there, if there is a topic of incredible need that you would like that people would like to work up and put into a class, maybe for one time or for, you know, reoccurring in a year or something like that, feel free to contact me and let me know. My priorities are made by the Canadian church leadership, but we usually have been able to produce those things that have shown up as being a need in the church. Yeah. And that's where the Latter-day Seeker class came in. A lot of the Latter-day Seeker class was written for Community of Christ church members, not for new incoming Latter-day Seekers. Right. And that's sometimes hard to explain. But we needed it because we needed help with our members to know how to make these approaches and know what the needs of Latter-day Seekers were in the life of the church so that we could be more responsive. And those kind of classes are the kind of things that we're still looking at. What do we need? What needs to be out there?
Amen. Amen. So that's awesome. So two more questions. How do they get a hold of you? And what is your website that we can look at?
The website is developmetrics.org. And I'm sure you can see it scrolled across. No, yeah. If I was recording, you could see it scrolled across the developmetrics, developmetrics.org. And that will take you to our website where you can see the schedule of the classes. And if you'd like to enroll, there's a USA enrollment page and a Canadian enrollment page. If you can't enroll, there are no classes available to enroll in at that time. But the schedule will be on the main page. And if you want to get a hold of me, I'm at idlloyd23@gmail.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dave. Thanks for talking with me. And thank you for helping me reminisce a little bit about my elder course days. Those were good.
You might need a refresher, Carla.
You are not wrong. You are not wrong. Okay, well, I should probably let you go. Thank you again.
We don't do a parenting class either, so we can't help out with any of that.
Maybe that is the need right there.
I won't be teaching it. You should see my kids.
No, I'm not going to say anything.
You know my kids.
Okay, one of my favorites. Thank you again.
Love you, Carla. All right.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use. And while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.